Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you here on the Weekend Overnight Show. We'll get back to the phones in just a little bit here and continue talking all things Eagles Buccaneers coming up later on today, but also have to work in some baseball conversation with our guy Tim Kelly, both from PhilliesNation.com, the editorial director of PhilliesNation.com, as well as the managing editor of OnPattison.com. Tim, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Good to be back with you.
So we are, Tim, can you believe it, officially one game away from the conclusion of the regular season. I know we've, you know, obviously around here have been blessed with some postseason baseball each of the last couple of seasons. But as a baseball writer day in and day out, I'll kick you off with this. It has to feel like the last day of school just a little bit, right? Like it has to, it's such a long year. It's kind of like a reverse school year, if you will, to just make it to this point the day before. Do you reflect back on the season? Do you get, you know, can you believe we've made it this far? Does the season go fast, slow, in your opinion? Just reflect on the 2024 regular season, if you would, before we start branching into this team's outlook entering the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the first half went quickly. The last month of the season, when you know the team is going to be in the playoffs and you're trying to make travel arrangements and figure out who they're going to play, that to me always goes slowly. So I'd say it's some combination of the two, and the reflection really happens whenever it's over.
As we sit here, one game away from the conclusion of the season, not necessarily a mail-it-in lineup coming up later on today, on Sunday, for the Phillies against the Nationals. First of all, Johan Rojas, we don't know his status. He's sick. Austin Hayes might not be available. Neither of them were available on Saturday, so could get pretty close to, if not fully normal lineup, so to speak, full regular lineup on Sunday. And also, this is a unique position the Phillies have been in. For the first time in franchise history, they have a first-round bye in this era of the postseason. Each of the last two postseasons, they have been a wild card team. Just kind of quickly run through the, you know, the team will play 162. Whether they win or lose, they'll quickly return back to Philadelphia. Take us through the overall schedule, their approach, and the sense of how you feel they're going to, you know, take on this upcoming week in a unique circumstance, because other than the All-Star break, a team never really gets this long off. Just take us through kind of how they're approaching this week.
Yeah, Wednesday, it sounds like it's going to be the sim game. Friday is the typical workout day the day before, but I would imagine, based off of the Corey Seidman reported this, like, they're going to be doing stuff all throughout the week. So I don't think – it sounds like Monday will be an off day, and then Tuesday through Friday they do prep stuff, various different prep stuff. And then Saturday, obviously, is game one, and you go from there. So I think it's an interesting challenge. Like, we talk about this in the NFL for years that, yeah, you know, you have some rust coming out of it, but you get a week off. And maybe that matters more in football, but I still think – hey, you're getting through the wild card series without the risk of losing in the wild card series, which shouldn't be taken for granted that you're just automatically going to win that every year. And B, you are an older team that's made deep playoff runs the last 2 years. I think having some time off should be good, but you do have to kind of caution against getting rusty and getting in a hole early in a best of five series.
If you had to answer this question, fill in the blank, the biggest concern for the Phillies entering the postseason is what? Certainly a few candidates. Could be Ranger Suarez, could be the offense, could be bullpen depth. Where do you stand? What do you think the number one concern for this team, again, with just one game remaining in the regular season, is entering this playoff run?
I think Ranger Suarez, based off of the way he pitched Friday, is probably the biggest concern, because I get it, he's going to be your number four starter, but like, one of the advantages of having him as a number four starter in theory is maybe he's available out of the bullpen in game one. Well, right now, I don't know that you would necessarily want to go to him in that type of role. He's been a Swiss Army knife, particularly in 2022, but even a little bit last year, where you like to use him in different spots. And I don't know that he can be that right now. So he, to me, would be the biggest concern. There's no other way to look at it. By all accounts, he's healthy, but something went wrong midseason and hasn't really been corrected consistently. I don't think it's the worst. Like, if he was your number two starter, it would be a much bigger issue than it is as your number four starter, because lots of teams, even in the playoffs, don't have a great option at number four. but I still think what he's meant to this team the past few years and how good he was pitching early on in the season was when they were playing the best. So it has to be a concern.
You mentioned Ranger Suarez penciled in as the Game 4 starter. Zach Wheeler penciled in as the Game 1 starter. There's somewhat of a debate right now who the Game 2 and Game 3 starter should be. Certainly a number of things to take into account. Between, of course, talking about Aaron Nola and Christopher Sanchez. Christopher Sanchez's splits, home versus road, as well as just experience and their performances overall in the season and of late, all factoring in here. Two questions. Number one, who do you think Rob Thompson will hand the ball to in Game 2 and Game 3? And who would you, Tim Kelly, hand the ball to in Game 2 and Game 3?
Yeah, my answer is the same for both. I think Christopher Sanchez would be the pick. You mentioned the home road splits. Even if you don't want to talk about that they've been worse on the road, he's been so good at home that I think it makes sense to maximize him at home. And I think Aaron Nola is somebody that, I mean, he gave up his opening day streak for Zach Wheeler without, not only did he go along with it, he endorsed Zach Wheeler to make the opening day start. So to me, he's somebody that wherever you ask him to pitch, he's going to pitch. And I think, frankly, Christopher Sanchez has been the second best pitcher on the Phillies this year. So beyond the home road splits, I just think it's deserving. And the interesting part about that is it sets whoever pitches that Game 2 up to potentially pitch Game 1 of the NLCS, which you don't know whether that'll be a home or a road game. If it's against the Dodgers, it'll be a road game. If it's against anybody else, it'll be a home game. So an interesting thing to think about there as well.
Talking to Tim Kelly, who is the editorial director of PhilliesNation.com, as well as the managing editor of OnPattison.com. As we see, you know, talk some lineup construction type stuff here. Bryson Stott and Mundo Sosa. Some people believe Bryson Stott, you know, should just be the everyday second baseman. Certainly Rob Thompson seems to give him, you know, the right of first refusal, so to speak, in that regard. Once we get into the playoffs, to what degree will that be a platoon? If there is a lefty on the mound early in the National League Division Series, who can Phillies fans expect to see out there starting at second base?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, if Chris Sale is on the mound against you, I think you're going Edmundo Sosa. If it's a lefty that maybe has more neutral splits, I think you go Bryson Stott. Like, to me, I think you're going to see 75% of the time probably Bryson Stott is there. But if it's a lefty with really strong splits that lefties don't hit well, I think you do go Sosa there. And Stott has not hit consistently enough this year like he did a year ago to kind of fend that off. So to me, that's the direction you go at that position. The thing is, we really don't know based off of how the Mets and Braves play out, how many lefties are going to be in. The Mets have a decent amount with Quintana and Peterson. The Braves have Fried and Chris Sale. If one of those two teams isn't in the playoffs, there's not a lot of lefties you're going to see. Like the Dodgers and the Brewers don't have a, you know, noteworthy lefty. If the Diamondbacks get in, Montgomery's not going to be a starter in the playoffs, most likely. Eduardo Rodriguez is more like a Game 4 starter. So it might be a little bit more of a moot point than we thought.
And let's talk about the outfield, starting outfield for, you know, Game 1, right-hander, left-hander. Let's assume that, you know, this was just precautionary with Austin Hayes. He is, in theory, ready to go for next weekend in that NLDS. Who do you think Rob Thompson, you know, forget where they are in the batting order, who is his starting outfield? Certainly Nick Castellanos in right field, but is it Johan Rojas? Is it Brandon Marsh? Is it Austin Hayes? Do you see any Weston Wilson? Like, how does this all get sorted out, and who is his go-to starting three in the outfield?
Yeah, this one I really don't have a perfect answer for, because Hayes, just every time they try to give him runway, something's going wrong, and it's not his fault. The kidney infection is about as freak of a ailment as you're going to have for a baseball player, but I don't know how you can go into the postseason necessarily feeling like he's solidified that job. And I think this is going to maybe be more of a situation where you ride the hot hand, and maybe that just means it doesn't work out for Austin Hayes. I don't know. I think Hayes will get the first opportunity. Like, if I had to guess, Game 1 against a right-handed pitcher, you're going to go with Marsh in center and Hayes in left. But personally, I might just lean Rojas' defense in center and Marsh in left. And I think there may be, if this is a deep playoff run and Austin Hayes doesn't really get going early on, it's hard to ignore the production that Weston Wilson has had against lefties. I don't think he's your best defensive option. He's probably somebody that's going to play five or six innings, and then you're going to bring in a better defender. But the bat against lefties has been kind of what you were hoping for from Austin Hayes. So to me, you have Castellanos penciled in right, and then you're going to keep scoring. You're going to have to be replacing a lot of people.
Oh, it's going to be fun from a scorekeeping standpoint. Indeed, not necessarily from a managerial standpoint. A lot of tricky things to manage, certainly throughout a playoff series. We learned on Saturday, Tim, by virtue of the Phillies losing and officially getting locked into that number two seed in the National League, still not a completely meaningless game on Sunday, as the Yankees could still theoretically catch them. The Guardians could, in theory, still catch them in a potential World Series matchup. But as far as the National League is concerned, the Dodgers are the number one seed. The Phillies are the number two. The Brewers are locked into the three. The Padres are locked into that top wild card spot at number four. And there's a whole mess at the bottom of the wild card standpoint that we'll get into in just a minute here. But we learned that the Phillies will be playing one of four teams in the NLDS. You can cross the Padres off the possibility list here. It will be the Brewers, the Diamondbacks, the Braves, or the Mets. And in all cases, that series would begin at Citizens Bank Park. If you're the Phillies, who is, of those four teams, the best matchup in a five-game series? Who is the worst matchup in a five-game series?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to discount any of those teams. The Mets have played extremely well. I still think of those four matchup-wise, the Mets are probably the best matchup, and it would just be really fun. I think the worst matchup, and this might be the fourth best of these teams right now, but the worst matchup for the Phillies, I think, is the Diamondbacks. They've had your number. You would have to, for two games, at least one game in that series, go to Chase Field, which has been a house of horrors for the Phillies, and is just a bizarre stadium where weird things happen. I think the Diamondbacks would probably be the worst matchup.
Let's talk about that wild card situation we have just really quick, and then we'll get it back to the Phillies here. I think, by and large, I saw you tweet it out earlier in the week, most people agree that this situation was handled very, very poorly. Understanding the Braves did not want to move these games at all. They didn't want to move it up. They didn't want to move to a neutral site. Whatever. We're now in a crappy situation for all parties involved, unless you're a Phillies fan just enjoying this, that the Mets and Braves have to play most likely a doubleheader on Monday, while the Diamondbacks quite possibly just sit back and wait and root for a split or something funky like that. What is the best case? I mean, the best case scenario from a Phillies perspective is obviously just root for all teams involved to just throw out their bullpens. But from a baseball fan's perspective, from a neutral outlook, you think the top storyline to kind of come out of this situation and, entering the wild card series? Obviously, the Diamondbacks going to be watching this whole thing play out, the Mets and Braves potentially having to fly across the country after this unfolds. Like, what's the angle you're looking at this from?
Well, you're right. I think it's a disaster. They should have either moved the game up or, both teams didn't play Monday, so they could have played at least one of those games Monday. Having to make up one game is a lot less daunting than two. They should probably have 2 days moving forward after the regular season ends to potentially make games up. As maybe rare as this situation is, you don't having to have a doubleheader the day before you would have a playoff series is insane. That said, I think the best scenario from a chaos standpoint is that you go into Monday and all the games matter. The Braves and Mets have to throw caution to the wind and say, can't worry that much about tomorrow because we don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow. And the same would be going for the Diamondbacks sitting at home watching. I think that would be the most fun scenario from a baseball fan's perspective, but surely it would set the Mets and Braves. It would screw them for the NLDS. Not to say like crazier things have happened. Maybe that becomes a rallying point, but I don't know how, like, you're going to have to use all your best guys in at least one game Monday, let alone maybe two. I think from a fairness standpoint, the best thing that could happen is the playoffs are decided on Sunday and Rob Manfred comes in and says, we're not having this doubleheader on Monday. Sorry to the teams in the wild card series that had to play two more games than them, but this is the most fair situation we can come up with right now.
So let's talk about this, swing it back to from a Phillies perspective. This is a, you know, unique perspective. First time in a while, first time since the Major League Baseball has gone to this playoff format, that the Phillies have the first round bye, that they will be sitting off. And, you know, you laid out earlier in the segment how the Phillies will be approaching this week, inter-squad games, workouts, things like that. Because the Phillies do have the advantage of they'll be able to hone in on one series. You know, let's hypothetically say, you know, it will be one of those three teams involved, the Diamondbacks, the Braves, and the Mets. But let's hypothetically say it's the Mets, just for the sake of the argument, going against the Brewers. The Phillies will have the advantage of honing in on one series, knowing that they'll have the winner, that they can set up their rotation perfectly, rooting for a series in front of them to go three games. And, you know, one of those teams is trying to play catch up once they get into the NLDS. They'll also have, you know, the benefit of roster construction and constructing their roster in a way that might make sense against, you know, that opposing team. Not to say that the other team won't know they're playing the Phillies, but they'll have a little bit more time to sort this out. All indications, and there was a report, I believe about a week ago now, specifically, there's a story from Alex Coffey, but I think all the writers at least were involved in talking to Rob Thompson. The sense seems to be that, you know, they're going to keep 14 hitters and 12 pitchers. A, is that still your sense? And B, just kind of getting a little into the weeds of that, if they're going to do that, is there any doubt in your mind that the two pitchers cut are Taijuan Walker and Tyler Gilbert? And if they're not going to go in that direction, if they're going to keep 13 pitchers, who stays in that regard and who gets whacked on the offensive side?
Yeah, I mean, Dave Dombrowski said on your airwaves Friday morning that they're leaning towards 14 and 12 for that. So I think you're right. Taijuan Walker and Gilbert would be the two that go off the roster. And then I think it allows Cody Clemens and Weston Wilson, both of whom deserve to make it, to be on that first roster. And it really allows you to get creative with second base, with those two outfield positions. You can pinch hit a ton. You can almost play it like old school National League baseball. I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but you can get matchup crazy a little bit in terms of pinch hit in the sixth inning. And if the spot comes up again in the eighth or ninth and you don't like it, pinch hit again. Like, I think that's what makes the most sense for that first series. And then come when you get to the CS, I think you go back to 13 and 13.
Well, so then that's the follow-up question. I know you know, tweeted and made mention of that earlier in the week as well. I mean, who comes back? Who then goes down from an offensive perspective? And are you looking at Tyler Gilbert returned to the bullpen? Like, how do they manage that? Not looking too far ahead, but how would that be managed?
Yeah, I have no idea at this point. Every time I've thought Taijuan Walker's maybe made his last appearance of the year, it doesn't end up being the case. Obviously, the fact that they have all this money invested in him for two more years, they want to try and salvage this. But that last outing, to me, was why he can't be on the playoff roster, because all you needed out of him in that game was to potentially give you some innings, and he couldn't do that. He got crushed. On the playoff roster, he'll likely be inconsequential. It's possible he doesn't pitch at all. But the scenario where you would need him is something like Ranger Suarez or Aaron Nola or whoever, Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, just doesn't have it a day. They give up 8 runs in the third inning. The game's kind of a wash, but you need to get through that game without burning your bullpen because you still have the rest of the series to play, and you need Taijuan Walker to go 5 innings. I don't know that he can do that right now. So I would go with Colby Allard. I think Colby Allard has limitations, but to me, I'm comfortable saying if you need him to go out there and wear one for you, he's capable of doing that.
I'll get you out of here on these two questions. They're both a little bit lighter questions. First is your favorite part about playoff baseball is what? And of course, just tell us what you have coming up on both sites. I know Phillies Nation on Patterson, kind of wearing multiple hats at the moment. What do you have coming up from a coverage perspective? I'm sure a lot as this week rolls on. But also, what is your favorite, just the absolute best thing in your opinion about playoff baseball?
I think it's just that you're hanging on every pitch. Not that you're not watching it during the regular season. Obviously, you are. But the top of the second inning, if you're a little late getting back from getting food or something, it's whatever. In the playoffs, every pitch matters, and seasons and legacies change based off of individual moments. So I think that's my favorite. As far as what's coming up on Pattison and Phillies Nation, I am firmly in the, and Bleacher Report for that matter, taking the day-to-day approach because I have so much going right now that can't look too far ahead. So what I can tell you is great playoff coverage is coming from me and everyone else on those outlets, so I'm excited for it.
I was going to say, do you even know what day it is? Like, once we get into this playoff run, will you even know what day it is? Because oftentimes I feel like that you get to a point where it's like, it could be Wednesday, it could be Saturday.
Well, especially if you're changing time zones, and I mean, there's been times last year in Arizona in the NLCS, like the game started at 4 o'clock Eastern, which was 1 o'clock local there, and you had just flown 3 hours back into time, so... Yeah, it certainly gets crazy. Lots of soda will be consumed.
I'm going to guess Tim Kelly is rooting for a Phillies-Mets National League Division Series. Nice, easy train ride up 95. Tim Kelly, as always, appreciate your time, and we'll be reading and we'll be listening because I'm sure you'll be guesting on these airwaves quite a bit in the upcoming weeks and hopefully for the better part of a month.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, man.
Again, that was Tim Kelly from, you know, on Pattison, as well as PhilliesNation.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Tim Kelly Sports. Take a quick timeout. On the other side, we'll continue to talk about the Phillies playoff outlook with one game to go here in the regular season, as well as your phone calls on Eagles Buccaneers coming up later today. Again, you can join me 215-592-9494. Dan Wilson with you on the weekend overnight, Sports Radio 94 WIP.